Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time.
Time for Silver and Black today.
To the ground game. Touchdown, Las Vegas. We're breaking down the latest Raider news from on and off the field and bringing you conversations with newsmakers and record breakers. So hold on, Raider Nation. It's time to
get it
on. Here's your host, Scott Goldbranson and Mo Moulton.
It's Thursday. It is time for another edition of Silver and Black today. Welcome back, Raider Nation. Scott Goldbranson with you. We are set to talk Raiders football. Less about the past and the loss in LA, and now more about the game ahead, the Raiders' home opener against the Arizona Cardinals. And I won Mr. Kyler Murray rolling into and onto the Vegas Strip, and joining me, as always, is my partner in crime. That is Mr. Mo Moulton. He is the national writer for the NFL at Bleacher Report. You can also catch his Raiders columns on sportsnot.com, which I read religiously, and I know that you guys do too, so we thank you for being back. Mo, here we go. We get to talk. We get to look forward now. We spent last show looking backward, of course, at the game last week and some of the issues with the Raiders, and we'll talk about those too because they haven't gone away, but it's going to be nice to talk about another game as we roll into week two of the NFL.
So you meaning it's the belly aching is over? It's time to stop whining and crying about what happened with the Chargers, and the sky is falling and the world is ending, and we can move on and talk about the Cardinals now. Is that what you're saying, Scott?
Never, right? It's amazing the conversations I've seen in Raider Nation this week, and some of them so dead on. And I mean, we are very lucky. And again, nothing against any of the other shows because they do great work too. But on our show, I find that 99% of our fans and our listeners, our viewers up on YouTube and Twitch and Facebook and all that, they are pretty level-headed. And so I like that. And I think that's true. You find the content you like that matches sort of your attitude. And so I think that we're lucky that way because you and I don't freak out too much. Every once in a while, we'll get on our soapbox. But other than that, it's been pretty good. And I think that we're very lucky, and thank you to all of you. The numbers and all that stuff coming in of you guys watching and listening to the show are phenomenal, and we're just blown away, and forever we'll be humbled by that, so thank you. Mo, we're going to set in, and on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about Raiders news of the moment and of the week, especially around some roster news. In the second segment, Tyler Vasquez of Kickoff in the Valley. We finally get one of our sister shows, or brother shows, however we want to call it, on the Odyssey Network here. They are the Cardinals podcast on Odyssey. As you know, we are building a massive empire at Odyssey when it comes to the NFL podcast. And so Tyler is going to join us from Phoenix, and he's going to give us the inside skinny on the Cardinals and what's going on with them. So we got a lot to get to. And then in the third segment, Mo and I will give you a little bit of our preview of the game and kind of the keys to the game. We believe if the Raiders are going to be victorious in their first game at Allegiant Stadium in 2022, what do they have to do? We'll close the show with everybody's favorite curmudgeon and that is Mr. Kelly Kreiner. So we'll have Kelly. We'll get a little bit of his comments on the Raiders, which you know will be snide. And then we will also talk about, I don't know, fantasy football, the Silver and Black Today Fantasy Football League, where there was one huge game between two owners that happened to be on this show. And there was a bet. And so Mo's got to come through on his bet because I actually beat Mo. We'll talk more about that in the third segment. But let's jump in, Mo, now to the show. And I'm looking off to the side for those of you watching on YouTube. I'm looking off to the side now because I got to go through all these roster moves. So let's go through this, Mo. We saw on Wednesday the Raiders sign Keelan Cole, the wide receiver, off the practice squad, put him on the active roster. Then they sign a new center, Billy Price, who was a draft pick in 2018 from the Bengals, to the practice squad, as well as cornerback Nickell Robey-Coleman, who we talked about on Tuesday to give them depth. He was signed not to the active roster, but to the practice squad. In addition, they claimed cornerback Javelin Guidry via waivers. We talked about that last show from the Cardinals, technically, and also placed Anthony Everett on the injured list. Safety Matthias Farley was sent to the practice squad. Kyle Pecco, for some Raider fans, they had a real big affinity for him, and he kind of got, because he played hard, but he was released from the practice squad. And of course, Kelechi Osemele was in for a visit. They have not signed him, nor does it appear that they will sign him after blowing his knees basically against the Raiders in 2020 when he was a member of the Chiefs, and he hasn't played since. So we're going to go through that. But Mo, clearly the injured Raiders, they had no injuries going into the season. We saw some big losses with Averett, with Trayvon Morig, the safety. He will not play on Sunday against the Cardinals, although they haven't technically said that. He's been listed as out of practice, but it doesn't appear good. When you look at these injuries, defensive backfield, offensive line, Andre James in an ambulance after the game with concussion-like symptoms, we don't know if he's coming back. That offensive line, which is a musical chair offensive line, might be thinner. What do you make of all these moves, and what does it tell you about this Raiders team getting set for this weekend?
That they were thin at the positions we said they were thin at. If you remember the 53-man depth chart that I put out after the Raiders set their final roster, I said offensive line, cornerback are my two concerns, not only because they are questionable stars in those positions, but because of the depth. If you lose a guy, what happens? Because I believe the Raiders went into the season with five cornerbacks on the roster. Yep. Now you put Anthony Averett on IR. You got to shuffle some guys in. You got to shuffle some guys out. So it tells me that the Raiders are top heavy at certain positions. And when you go through the season, you're going to have injuries. Every team has them. It's the nature of the sport, a physical sport where you're banging bodies on every play. So you have to expect that, and you have to be prepared for that. That's why I never bought into Josh McDaniels saying, yeah, we're fine with eight offensive linemen. you cannot listen to everything a head coach says at the podium. I know to us that's secondary nature, but to a lot of fans, they listen to what these coaches say and they take it word for word. And I say, you know, some of it is coach speak. Some of it is they don't want to tip their hand to other teams. They don't want to tell other teams what they plan on doing because, yes, other teams are listening, like the Cardinals. Josh McDaniels is not going to tell you everything going on or what they're planning behind the scenes. So it's expected that they would bring in a Billy Price, who has versatility. He played center, played guard, not very well, starting with the Bengals and the Giants, but he has that position versatility if they have to call on him. But I think as they discussed this week, I think Dylan Parham is probably the guy up next because they trained him to play both positions, so it could be his time. I know we saw him shuffle in and out of right guard, but we could possibly see him in center if Andre James can't go on Sunday.
Yeah, and remember, Josh McDaniels might be warmer and fuzzier, but he was a protege of Bill Belichick. He learned a lot. He's not going to go up there and give anybody anything that they can use or tip an opposing team, especially in the regular season, around what they might have or not have, because that helps the other team prepare. So they're going to keep it as long as they have to until the NFL requires them to report it and until they announce they're active. So I think that's not surprising to me, but you're right. Fans listen to it and they take it as kind of a gospel, and it's not always the case. But Mo, the offensive line, we'll get to the defensive backfield. This was the other key area you and I have been talking about since July, right? Some unknowns there. That was before the trade of Trayvon Mullen to the Cardinals. And of course, Mullen's out down there as well. But we saw some veterans like Averett, a guy you really liked and we talked about a lot. He gets injured. Nate Hobbs, of course, has been the big story because he's played so well. But now you're dealing with these injuries and you're dealing with a situation where they performed okay against the Chargers. In watching again the film since, I watched it again today. The defense actually didn't play. I thought they played okay, and I kind of revised my thoughts on that. I thought there was a lot of issues there. But again, first game, the Raiders did not play their best all the way around, and so you hope that they get better. But that defensive backfield losing people is a really bad sign. Now, if they can go out there and play well, then they can change my mind and a lot of other people's mind. But that's got to be a big concern, especially if it lingers. Now, if it's just a week or so and you can get some of these guys back and Trayvon Morig is not injured long term, then fine. But man, you're going to roll back again. You have the Chiefs, you have the Broncos coming back up again, as well as others. It's not an easy schedule and you need people healthy.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You do, but I think this is also why you brought in, while the Raiders would bring in Daron Harmon, pretty much knows what he's doing out there, a battle-tested veteran. So he'll get those reps there. He'll get the start there of how long Trayvon Merrick is out. I believe it's a hip injury. Hopefully right. It's a short-term injury and he's back within 1 or 2 weeks. But I believe that they trust that Daron Harmon is going to do the right thing on the back end. He can play both safety positions, so he has the versatility. My concern is still the offensive line. It continues to be. I know people are going to say, wow, you know, not a revelation there. Sound like a broken record. But if Derek Carr, and I know Derek Carr had a bad game, right? And like we said last show, two things could be true. Derek Carr can have a bad game and the offensive line cannot play up to snuff. So if that offensive line continues to be what it is, and I wrote a piece about it and I believe I tweeted about it, if Josh McDaniels plans on just rotating the right guard and right tackle position throughout the entire season, that is not ideal. I don't care what he says or how he tries to spin it at the podium or spin it to you people on coach speak. But how many teams do you know go to the Super Bowl, go to the playoffs with two spots rotating on their offensive line? Just doesn't happen. You have to settle in on five guys eventually.
And Mo, I'm going to go a step further and say it's dangerous. It's not just troubling. It's dangerous because, and I don't know, again, I don't know what they see out there on the market. And if they don't feel something, someone can help. I mean, we've talked about names for weeks of people we think would at least get the opportunity, bring them in and work them out. They have not. They've brought in some guys that are really secondary, third tier players. And that's concerning because you look at it, this rotation, and you said it the other day, we were talking about quarterbacks or we were talking about the offensive line. You said, hey, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one quarterback. Well, in this case, if you have seven offensive linemen, then you don't have five. And so if you look at that, that revolving door is not going to benefit you or work, especially in this division and especially in this conference. How are you going to not only get out of your conference or your division, but how are you going to put up with the other teams out there, whether it's Cincinnati, whether it's Baltimore, whether it's Indy? I know they didn't play great, but they will play better. The AFC is stacked. And so if you don't have five guys and a unit that can gel together, then you're in trouble. And I want to point this out, too, because this game against the Cardinals, I'm seeing a lot of bargaining out there with Raider fans. They're saying, oh, the offensive line didn't play that bad. Well, outside of Dylan Parham, they all ranked, if you look at the PFF rankings, and I know those are subjective, and I know a lot of people hate PFF rankings, and I understand why. I'm not going to argue with you on it. But they all graded in the 50s, with Colton Miller being the worst. He had a bad game. I don't expect that to continue. But nonetheless, you look at that, and that's a big problem, because if you go 0-2, a lot of people think that they're going to beat the Cardinals. It's not going to be a problem. You can't do that in the NFL. And just so you know, 30 teams... in the NFL since the 14-team playoff expansion. Okay, 30 teams have started out 0-2. None of them have made the playoffs. Zero since the playoffs have expanded. So this is a huge game for the Raiders, and they have got to get that offensive line gelled. If they don't, then it could spiral. And again, we're not being negative. We're just being truthful here. If they don't fix it and figure it out and guys don't step up, they could be in big trouble very, very soon.
I think the ideal combo there is Dylan Parham at right guard and Mumford at right tackle. It's just a matter of they just need the experience and the reps at those spots. Because remember, they just drafted both guys. Illuminar came back on a one-year deal. Lester Cotton kind of came out of nowhere after Richie Incognito retired. He kind of vouched for Lester Cotton being the next guy up, saying he's grown. But to me, it seems like they want the guys that they drafted to eventually wind up in those spots. But they, again, they just don't have the experience yet to leave them out there full time. So what they're doing is they're trying to get the veteran insurance in there now and still get the young guys reps. So they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, in a sense. Mm-hmm. But to me, eventually, I would say by week three or four, you want to have that squared away and settled.
No question. And we'll get to Carr and quarterback play and all that later in the game, in the show. But yeah, the Raiders need to start putting some stuff together. We need to see better performance, not only of that offensive line, but of the quarterback. And of course, on the defense, for the entire unit has got to perform better. We have to see more pressure up the middle, and you have to see those defensive backs, how they operate with a couple men down. I mean, it's part of the NFL. You're going to have injuries. You hope it doesn't happen in the first 2 weeks, right? It tends to happen to all teams at different times, but certainly coming off a disappointing performance where even in a disappointing performance, they were still in a position to win the game, that's encouraging. And so I'm not trying to discourage fans out there, but there's a lot on the line in this home game against the Cardinals, and that's what we're going to talk about. So what we're going to do is we're going to step aside when we come back for segment number two. Tyler Vasquez of Kickoff in the Valley, our fellow Odyssey podcast, they cover the Cardinals. He's going to be with us. We're going to get the skinny on what's going on down at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, and he'll give us the full report on that when we come back. All right, that'll do it. We'll be back in a second. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Silver and Black Today here on Odyssey.